Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson where we hear these words. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him something. He asked them, "Are you trying to find out from one another what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? I tell you the absolute truth. You will cry and mourn, but the world will be glad. You will have sorrow, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth to a child, she has pains because her time has come. But after the child is born, she does not remember her pains anymore, because she is so happy that a human being has been born into the world. You too are sad now, but I will see you again, and your heart will be glad, and no one will take your joy away from you." These are the words of our text. What a confusing night it had been for the disciples. They're in the upper room. Jesus has celebrated the Passover with them. They've had their share of arguments as to who's greatest among them. Jesus has washed their feet and given them a new command. He's given them a new covenant, instituted his Holy Supper. There's been talk of betrayal. There's been talk of denial. And now there's talk of, in a little while, you're not going to see me. And in a little while more, you'll see me again. What a confusing night for those disciples. And the night has only begun. There's going to be confusion in the Garden of Gethsemane as soldiers come, as Judas betrays Jesus, and as there's commotion and struggle and ear chopping and ear healing and taking off in captivity Jesus to the high priest for a mock trial. What confusion the phrase "a little while" can make. In our household, I sometimes say, "I'll be up for bed in a little while." There's probably someone who wonders now, what exactly does he mean by "in a little while" tonight? Is it going to be 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or is it going to be 2 hours or 3 hours? What does he mean by "a little while"? As a child, there were times when my parents would say, "Well, we'll do that in a little while." What did they mean by "a little while"? The bread would come out of the oven, or the fresh rhubarb pie or raspberry pie, and I was ready to dig in, and Grandma would say, "In a little while. In a little while." But I didn't want to wait. I wanted that nice warm crust with the butter melting on it and the honey dripping from it. I wanted that first piece of fresh rhubarb pie or raspberry pie to satisfy the hunger that had been stored up for a whole season since the last rhubarb pie or the last raspberry pie. But I knew that if I didn't wait, either I'd burn the roof of my mouth or I'd have a great bellyache. But these disciples, Jesus is talking about something different than rhubarb pie or hot bread out of the oven or doing some family activity. He was talking about events that were going to be unfolding in the next couple of hours for his disciples. He's talking about that arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's talking about that painful crucifixion and death and burial. And indeed, they would not see him again. They would see him no more. Some of them, as he's carried off by the prison guards of the temple to take him to the high priest to have that trial. For some, they would not see him even as he hung on the cross. There would be sorrow and grief as their friend as their master, as their Lord, was now dead. And there'd be other sorrow and grief beyond simply the sorrow for the death of their friend Jesus. There would be grief and sorrow over a betrayal of innocent blood that would lead to Judas hanging himself in utter hopelessness and despair. There would be the grief and sorrow over a denial that had been announced would happen, and which had been so vehemently denied. Even if I must die with you, Lord, I will never deny you. But the denial had come. And then the emptiness, the grief of the loss of a friend. As the disciples on the way to Emmaus had said, as they journeyed with Jesus unknown to them, we had hoped he had been the Messiah. Their hopes also now lost. But yet in a little while they would see him again, Jesus said, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. And what great joy there must have been with the realization that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he was not left in the grave, that the woman's story in the morning was not simply a story, but it was a reality, as Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. That for Thomas, the beholding of the nail prints and the spear hole in the side of the Lord, that it was a reality and not just some story that the other disciples had shared. What joy must have filled those disciples at the realization that their Lord was alive. But not simply was he alive, but all that he had promised, all that he had proclaimed was now fulfilled, that he had died for the sins of the world, that he had died for forgiveness, that Peter would be forgiven of that denial, that the other disciples would be forgiven for their cowardice and their running and hiding behind a locked door, that you and I also would receive the forgiveness of sins, because we too sorrow and grieve, don't we? Not just for the death of loved ones, but do not our own sins pierce us with griefs and sorrows as well? Do we not find ourselves mourning the lack of integrity or the lack of stamina and faith in carrying out the will that we would like to follow for our Lord Jesus? For us also there is a time of sorrow, but there is also a time of joy. Because Jesus is not simply just talking about the joy that the disciples would know as they would see him risen again, but also the joy that you and I would come to know in knowing Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We don't see him physically. We don't touch him physically. But we do behold him in a spiritual way. We do see him in his word. We do see him in the body and blood at his supper given to us in the bread and wine, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Again, a promise that was given to the disciples earlier that evening. I've got a whole lot more I want to tell you guys, but you can't bear it right now. But when the friend, the counselor, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you about all of the things that I've told you and all of the things that are going to unfold these next few hours and days. And he will help you to understand them. And there is a joy in our lives, is there not, in knowing Jesus as our Savior? Imagine how sorrowful and grief-stricken our life would be without knowing Jesus. Oh, the world looks like it's having a good time. It looks like they're happy with the things of the world, the accumulation of wealth and material things, and going out and sowing their wild oats and enjoying life at its fullest. But deep down inside, there is an emptiness. There is a sorrow. There is a grief that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. in a little while you will see me again. We've never had an opportunity to see Jesus, at least physically, but there is an opportunity in a little while to see him, when we see him face to face in heaven, when the Lord returns again, either to bring this world that we live in to a close, or when he comes to each of us in our own turn, when death comes to us, to bring us to heaven. And this world is full of grief, and it is full of sorrow, is it not? But there is that hope, that joyous promise that the Lord gives to us also, that in a little while you will see me again, and your heart will be filled with joy, and no one will be able to take that joy from you, because that joy will be in heaven, where there is no death, where there is no sin, where there is no devil, where there is no thing or person who can take that joy from us, because we will be living in pure joy. We see the world, and indeed, as our Lord says, the world will rejoice. The world will be happy. The world will party while you suffer and while you sorrow. And we see that in the world when we watch the news, when we see those who hate Christians rejoicing over their death or over their humiliation. But their time will come. And there is a choice then that is laid before us. There's always a choice that God lays before us, either a choice of blessing or a choice of curses. And while the world may look as though it has all of its blessing and is rejoicing and celebrating and reveling in all of the things of the world, their time of sorrow is going to come, when they are cast into the eternal darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it will not end. And there is also the choice of blessing, which may mean hardship, may mean sorrow, may mean weeping for a time in this life, but it produces for us, by God's grace, an eternity of joy in heaven. Now the question and the answer should be quite obvious to the question. Which would you want to choose? Why would anyone want to choose life in this world with the ensuing curses that will come at the end of time over life of suffering and sorrow for the sake of Jesus Christ and the faith and the hope of all the blessing and joy of heaven? It makes no sense why anyone would choose not to have that blessing, because it is a blessing that God gives to all people. It is a blessing that is made available to all in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But yet many will choose not to. In a little while, you will see me again. And you will see me, and your heart will be filled with joy, and no one will be able to take that joy from you. Some of you know that our daughter Sarah is coming home today. In our household, from time to time, in 48 hours, Sarah is going to be on a plane heading for the United States. In 24 hours, Sarah is going to be on a plane heading for the United States. Well, this morning she should already be in Munich, and by now she should be somewhere between Munich and Chicago, somewhere in the wild blue yonder. And there's an excitement because there's sort of been a sorrow, a subdued sorrow, since she's left to go over to Denmark. But there's an excitement. It's sort of like that excitement as a child. In a little while, the cousins are going to be here. Grandpa and Grandma are going to be here in a little while. But in a little while, Jesus is going to be here. Now, what in the world does Pastor mean by in a little while? Does he mean a few minutes, a few hours, a couple days, weeks, months, years, centuries, millennium? I don't know. because Jesus is the one who says, in a little while, you will see me again. And that joyous promise that he gave to those disciples in that upper room before his crucifixion and death, which would make that joyous promise possible, he gives to you and I also. And he reminds us of that promise again and again when we come to his table and take that foretaste of the banquet feast that is to come in heaven. He reminds us of that again and again in his word as we read it, as we study it, as we hear it. He reminds us of that again and again as we wake to a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a joyful promise. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive and he is coming. In a little while, we will see him again. And only in the infinite knowledge of God can he fully answer when that little while is for you or for I. For some, it may be a few days or weeks or months. I don't think for any of us here it'll be centuries, certainly not millennia. I don't think anybody's lived over 1,000 years. But he is coming again in a little while. And just as Grandma would say, in a little while you can have that crust or you can have that piece of pie. And it was so very good. And it was so very satisfying and so very tasteful. So much that all of my taste buds were shouting for joy, yes, you've satisfied us with rhubarb pie, with raspberry pie, with warm bread. How much more does our Lord satisfy? So much so that not just taste buds, but every cell within our being shouts out and rejoices and longs for his appearance. May that joyous promise that our Lord gives to us be our joy and our comfort in this life when sorrow comes, when hardship and trial are the path that we are led through, always knowing that our Lord is coming, and in a little while we will see him again. And our hearts then will be filled with what St. Peter calls an inexpressible joy that no one will be able to take from us, that no one will be able to take from you. May God grant that for your soul's joy and your comfort as you glorify his name with your life, with your words, to those you encounter upon that journey. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.